Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Eric LeCompte, who's the director of the Jubilee USA Network, a coalition of 75 religious, policy, labor, relief, environmental, and human rights organizations advocating for solutions to the international debt crisis. Jubilee USA Network has won critical global financial reforms and more than $130 billion in debt relief for the world's poorest countries, so the money could be reinvested in social infrastructure. He currently focuses on development in relationship to the international debt crisis. Welcome to Background Briefing, Eric LeCompte.
Thank you, Ian. It's great to be with you.
And we were just hearing about the Supreme Court today, hearing arguments on whether or not to take away the president's and all presidents' authority to do recess appointments. And that, of course, is disturbing a lot of people. But apparently there's some good news in the sense that the Supreme Court has decided to hear Argentina's objection to predatory hedge funds targeting Argentine assets outside of the United States. So fill us in on that, if you will, Eric.
Yeah, that's right, Ian. It's certainly been a ping-pong match of a case in the U.S. legal system. The case is between a group of hedge funds in Argentina. It goes back to when Argentina had defaulted on its debt back in 2001. It was a major default, and Argentina settled its debts with about 93% of its creditors, of its bondholders. There's been a small group of holdout of creditors that have been led by the hedge fund NML Capital. And what this hedge fund and hedge funds like it do, there's only a very small group of them, is they go after countries that are facing financial distresses, that are dealing with significant economic or poverty issues, and they try to buy up their debt, often doing so for pennies on the dollar. And then when a country is in recovery or when it might have new assets that it could use to deal with poverty in its country, groups like NML Capital and predatory hedge funds buy up the debt for pennies on the dollar, and then they resell, or rather they litigate, in order to try and collect in the debts in full. And so what's happening right now with the U.S. Supreme Court is that the Supreme Court has agreed to look at a lower court's ruling that would allow the hedge funds to get information on where Argentina's assets are around the world. In the last year, these hedge funds have tried to seize Argentine assets, including a naval ship called the Libertad, which it was sailing around the world in research and educational missions. And so what these hedge funds, you know, are trying to do is to exploit the country of Argentina. But the issue is that this case impacts more than just Argentina. This particular case impacts some of the poorest countries in the world. So it's exciting that the Supreme Court is going to take the case and look at it and is concerned with the behavior of these predatory hedge funds. It should be noted that this is only a small part of a much larger case that the Supreme Court will be facing over the next few months, and that's actually whether or not it's legitimate for these kinds of hedge funds to try and collect from Argentina. So we expect that Argentina and these hedge funds will also have another opportunity in front of the Supreme Court to talk about these issues.
And Eric LeCompte, you're joining the IMF, or your organization, Jubilee USA, is joining the IMF, the World Bank, and the White House in denouncing these hedge funds, these so-called vulture funds, collecting on the debts from the world's poorest nations. The second U.S. Second Circuit Court ruling is the one that the Supreme Court are looking into. They've ordered Argentina to pay $1.33 billion. So why, given the conservative nature of this court and particularly the corporatist nature of this court, given Robertson, Alito, and many of the justices come out of corporate law, what leads you to feel that they might rule in the right direction?
Well, we have to understand that these particular issues deal with core U.S. policy in terms of how historically we've dealt with the debts of other nations, and also a core part of U.S. foreign policy around the sovereignty of countries and respecting the rights and sovereignty of other countries. I suspect that's why the Supreme Court has decided to look at one aspect of this case right now, because they're very concerned about whether or not the rights of Argentina and other sovereigns will be violated by the actions of these hedge funds. So I think that sovereignty question is a very important question, and I think it's one that the Supreme Court's going to look at very seriously as it decides to look at further aspects of the Argentina case. I think the other piece is around this issue of how the United States government has dealt with debts. You know, it's interesting. Right now, the efforts of Jubilee USA and our work on international debt relief and responsible lending and borrowing, these are considered by Congressional Quarterly to be the last legitimate bipartisan issues on Capitol Hill. So we've had more than a decade of Republicans and Democrats coming together in Washington on behalf of wanting to restructure debts of the world's poorest countries in order to give poor people a fighting chance. So with this in mind as well, you know, it's also very clear that the Supreme Court will want to look at it. I think one final piece, which is worth mentioning, you know, Ian, you noted, you know, how a broad swath of groups and organizations are together on the side of Argentina and working against the hedge funds. That includes the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the U.S. government, religious groups like ours, Jubilee USA, and it also includes legitimate Wall Street investors. The reality is that this behavior of a small group of predatory hedge funds, also known as vulture funds, actually takes business away from other legitimate Wall Street brokerage houses. So what's amazing right now is this behavior is so extreme that, you know, we believe the Supreme Court's going to look at it because it also goes against some other corporate interests.
Again, I'm speaking with Eric LeConte, who's the director of the Jubilee USA Network, a coalition of 75 religious, policy, labor, relief, environmental, and human rights organizations advocating for solutions to the international debt crisis. Jubilee USA Network has won critical global financial reforms and more than $130 billion in debt relief for the world's poorest countries so the money could be reinvested in social infrastructure. He currently focuses on development in relation to the international debt crisis. And you mentioned the sovereignty issue, which is what has got the White House and many involved in this, and why the Supreme Court may rule in favor of Argentina. Of course, the Monroe Doctrine was born out of the U.S.'s decision to protect this hemisphere from European gunboats collecting debts. So I see the history there. But these vulture funds, for example, if they are the outliers, how have they gotten the kind of standing that they've got so far?
Well, you know, it's really it's all about money, and it's been amazing, you know, to have the strong support of the U.S. government and the Treasury because of the amount of lobbying they've faced from these hedge funds and the lobbying firms and communications firms that represent them. The lobbying has been immense, you know, and the U.S. government, the White House, has stood up against that pressure and continued to see the behavior of these vulture funds or predatory hedge funds as extreme behavior. So, you know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, is in our favor, that the behavior is so extreme. We have to understand that in recent years, this small group of hedge funds that have engaged in this behavior, it's been extremely profitable. And so because of that, they're willing to spend quite a bit of money. You know, since the end of last year, or rather, I should say, over the course of last year, the hedge fund spent over $3 million in lobbying Congress on these particular issues. The person who is really the billionaire behind the hedge funds, Paul Singer, he's the largest single donor and organizer of donations to the GOP or the Republican Party. Also a significant donor to Democrats and the Democratic Party. So we have to understand that they have immense resources, and it's pretty amazing that you know, many of us have been able to challenge these hedge funds when they have such deep pockets.
So let's turn to another subject in the news, a subject about which you are also concerned, Eric Lecompte, the director of the Jubilee USA Network, which is a coalition of 75 religious, policy, labor, relief, environmental, and human rights organizations advocating for solutions to the international debt crisis. Your reaction to the Pope's selection of 19 new cardinals, 16 of whom will be eligible to vote for the next pope, two of them, of course, one of them is the youngest from Haiti and another from Burkina Faso. Is this in any way, given that these are the kind of countries that these predatory vulture hedge funds go after, is this a good sign that the Pope's appointing more cardinals from the third world, the South?
Yeah, it's extremely exciting. And as you noted, Jubilee USA, you know, we were founded by churches and essentially represent almost all of the major mainstream religious institutions in the United States on these issues of debt, tax, and extreme poverty. It's also, you know, pretty interesting seeing some of the shifts, you know, our work having long been supported by the Catholic Church, but also seeing, you know, what this particular Pope has been doing and moving forward. You know, in terms of the Vulture Fund cases that we were just talking about, you know, there's no coincidence that, you know, Pope Francis led the bishops of Argentina when he was the head of the bishops there through the Argentine default. And he's very acutely aware of these kinds of financial policies and have spoken out against actors like these predatory hedge funds. In fact, Pope Francis last year went as far as to call this kind of extreme behavior savage. So, you know, the connections are very rich, and as we see that Pope Francis has now selected new leaders for the Catholic Church, these 19 new cardinals, his first, so to speak, Pope Francis cardinals that he's put into place, it's very significant because out of the 19 cardinals, 16 are young enough to vote for the next pope. And out of those 16 cardinals that Pope Francis just appointed, out of those 16 cardinals who will vote for the next pope, 9 are from the developing world. So it's very significant that Pope Francis has sent a clear message to actually build up voting power in the College of Cardinals from cardinals that are connected with poor and conflict areas around the world. Haiti, Burkina Faso, the Philippines, all of the cardinals that Pope Francis has appointed come from an understanding and a view that has been shaped by the poorest and most vulnerable people. So it's exciting, certainly in terms of what Pope Francis has been doing and saying that the main focus of the church, of people of faith, of people of goodwill, should be to work together to end poverty. And it's also, I think, tremendously exciting in the sense that, you know, we're seeing there being a broader and stronger representation from cardinals from the developing world, the third world, where those cardinals have seen firsthand, where they've been on the front lines of seeing the kinds of international financial policies that keep people poor. And having that kind of knowledge coming into the center of the Catholic Church leadership is exciting and impressive.
Well, I noticed that the Pope did not choose any new cardinals from the United States. And, of course, the United States has been, the U.S. Catholic Church has been beset by these sex scandals, enormous payoffs. What's your sense of that omission?
Well, you know, certainly it does say something, doesn't it? You know, when we look at most of the cardinals being appointed from Africa, Latin America, and Asia, it certainly says something. Because I think part of what this Pope is saying is that, you know, those that are affected, most of the world, those that have been living in poverty, should have more of a voice and more of a seat at the table. And so we certainly recognize that, you know, as Pope Francis is making these very important shifts in the Catholic Church, you know, we're also understanding that you know, as of right now, you know, noting that there are so many cardinals from the northern world and the developed world, that we need to create more seats at the table from the developing world.
And in terms of doctrine, you know, there's been a lot suggested that this new pope is moving the church perhaps to the left, given how much his two predecessors moved it to the right. Is there anything to that notion? Because a lot of my understanding is a lot of the cardinals from the global south and from the third world are doctrinally quite conservative. They may be socially liberal, but doctrinally conservative.
Right. Well, and certainly I think that's true. And I think in terms of many of the issues that have been important issues for the Catholic Church, we shouldn't think that the Church has necessarily changed its opinions on every particular issue. But I think what's really important to acknowledge is that this particular pope is putting a strong emphasis on common ground and an emphasis on ending poverty. Although poverty issues and civil rights issues, human rights issues, have always been important to people of faith and certainly to Catholics, and certainly to the previous popes, the popes prior to Pope Francis, I think what the difference is, it's the emphasis, that there's a strong day-to-day emphasis. This new Pope Francis doesn't seem to take any action that is disconnected from a message of common ground and ending poverty, where those messages necessarily weren't emphasized in prior papacies. So I think what we're seeing with Pope Francis is a particular emphasis on working to end poverty and working to find common ground.
Well, Eric LeConte, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much, Ian. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Eric LeConte, who's the director of the Jubilee USA Network, a coalition of 75 religious, policy, labor, relief, environmental, and human rights organizations advocating for solutions to the international debt crisis. Jubilee USA Network has won critical global financial reforms and more than $130 billion in debt relief for the world's poorest countries so the money could be reinvested in social infrastructure. He currently focuses on development in relationship to the international debt crisis. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about what everyone needs to know about cybersecurity and cyber war.